From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. The Chinese government now says as many as 50,000 people may have been killed in this week's earthquake. Authorities say 20,000 are known to be dead and untold thousands remain buried. But even as rescuers dig through piles of brick, wood, and collapsed cement, the Chinese government faces the challenge of getting relief to desperate survivors. People are homeless and hungry. My co-host Robert Siegel visited a town near the city of Mianzhu, an area where thousands lost their homes and their lives in the quake.
The place is called Gongjing, and Gongjing has run out of water. This morning, a fire truck was parked along the main road, dispensing water from a hose. Residents of the town lined up to fill plastic jugs and basins. When they see our microphones, they start to tell us, we need water, we need rice, we need medicine, we need tents. They say the government came through and searched for survivors in the remains of collapsed buildings, of which there are many. They say this morning the village government distributed some supplies, but not enough, one bottle of water per person. They say they're hungry and they have no food.
And the condition of your homes?
Most of them, 90% or so, collapsed, or the rest of them are in danger, dangerous structures. No one's.
We really need help.
We really need help. That's from Luo Qi, an 18-year-old student, one of two we met who speaks some English. 21-year-old Jen says many people in Gongjing were injured in the quake or became ill after it.
The medicine is very limited. In our Gongjing hospital, many of the people must send to the big hospital.
What happens next is inevitable. A couple of local government officials take the lead, warning the others not to be negative. This is a recurring theme here. The Chinese mistrust foreign media. They fear we will make them or their government look bad. No doubt they also fear that we might make them sound like they're making their government look bad. So the local leaders insist that they walk us through the town to see the worst of the damage. Their account of the official response to the disaster is glowing. They say help arrived right after the quake. The scene of the damage is devastating. The center of Gongjing is destroyed. Walls, doors, and furnishings sit in a jumble where houses used to stand. Buildings that didn't fall are damaged. No one stays inside. Despite what the leaders say, one man starts to complain loudly. Why didn't anyone warn us, he asks. No one, he says, has come to console us.
This man is very angry about what happened here, and he's engaged now in an argument with the people who are giving us a much more positive spin on things. He's saying they haven't done well by the people of Gongjing, and now the others, they're giving him a scolding over on the corner. They feel that he should not be talking like that to us.
One of the young women tells us, as bad as it looks in the center of town, in the countryside just outside town, it's worse. So a farmer named Mao Yongcheng takes us to his village and his farm to see. His house is a pile of rubble. Like everyone here, he sleeps in a makeshift tent, a plastic tarp slung over some small trees. Under it are beds for his wife, his mother, and his child. Other families sleep in tents right near it. Mr. Mao raises pigs, and he takes us to see the pigsty.
Before this, I have pigs in all these pens, and now it's all I have left.
How many did you have before, and how many are alive now?
Before the earthquake, I had about 160. Now I have about 70 or 80. Now we don't have electricity, we don't have water, we have trouble feeding these pigs. And these pigs also might be facing a danger of getting sick. We're not sure if we can keep them.
What are you going to do?
For now, my priority is to keep them alive and hopefully find something to feed them, because these are my properties, my livelihood.
By the time we emerge from the pigsty, we are joined by a couple of dozen people who live and farm down this road. Among them, the leader of the village, a woman in a straw hat and a pink blouse, Wang Mingchong. She tells us they are reduced to one meal a day.
We have one instant noodle, one package of instant noodle per day. That's all our meal. And we have to get dirty water from the creek. That's the only water we have.
They tell us the government gave them pills to put in the water to make it potable. As we left the village, Mr. Mao, Ms. Wang, and the rest said over and over what they need: water, food, tents, and medicine. And the farmer added to that list feed for his pigs. On the drive back to Chengdu, we passed convoys of trucks, private cars, even taxicabs, rushing supplies in the direction of Mianzhu, the city near this rural Sichuan town. When provisions do arrive, it will be none too soon for the people of Gongjing. This is Robert Siegel, NPR News in Chengdu, Sichuan Province, China.